Batteries.
We are batteries. But the most important thing to say right now, instead of letting everyone know that we're copper tops, is hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac
Underpants.
Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And despite many technical issues this morning, I blame the fact that Patrice is not here. Her mere presence is enough to make technology quake and tremble and bow to her presence. She's not here, so it's all like, F you, Jeff, I'm gonna screw up. But here we are. We're here. By the way, we are starting Summer of Fun. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, just sound it out. Summer of Fun. It's summer. We're going to have fun. The longer answer is in the summer, Apple News is pretty weak and slow. So instead of just taking the time off and missing hanging out together, we've decided a few years ago that we're just going to pick different topics and run with them during the summer. So today, we've decided we're going to talk about our favorite Apple TV shows from this year. And there we go. That's it. That's what we're doing today.
And we
And
totally did not steal the idea from Upgrade. Not at all.
no, as we've pointed out in previous years, thanks to our nonlinear timeline, we created this after thinking it up, but we had to jump through time to make it work so that it appears that Relay did it first because we love them so much.
Yes.
You know, a anything to help out a friend.
Yes. Yeah, Mike, you're welcome.
Yeah, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey. Anyhow, sadly, Doctor Who is not an Apple TV Plus series.
Yes.
But that said, you know, we might as well just jump into it. And who has the first series? And I bet that would be Ben, because Ben, you raised your hand. But you know what? Before we do that, it occurred to me, I'm just like running in with shows, and no one knows who we are, right? We're just a bunch of dudes that are wandering aimlessly without our leader, because I'm only an interim host. How many years have I been the interim host?
Longer than Steve Jobs was the interim CEO.
So I'm better at it than he was. Yep. Oh, hi, Ben. You're waving to me, right? Yeah. Anyhow, Ben, how are you? It's been a while.
I am fantastic and not sick today, knock on bamboo.
Awesome. Is that a euphemism? I'm gonna
No,
go
it's
knock on some
because
bamboo.
my awesome standing desk is made of bamboo.
Okay, that's not nearly as racy as I was expecting,
Yeah,
but
which is
we'll run with it.
technically a grass and not a wood.
That's true. I want to watch you mow your desk. Also, not a euphemism. Hey,
Hey
Chuck,
Chuck,
how are
tell us about
you?
yourself.
I'm stunned by this conversation. Yes, I'm stunned, Jeff. Other than that, I'm fine.
How could you possibly be stunned? This is just basically what happens every time they leave me unsupervised.
Well, that's true, but the depths to which you take it just always surprise me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
You're
he's
welcome.
even like this when Chuck is supervising him on his own show.
What's to say about Chuck's supervision skills?
Not much.
Yeah. Hey, Marty, how's it going for you?
It's good. It's Friday. I wind down the work week. However, my sister-in-laws are coming to town. And they're all going to go out to a concert Sunday night, which is great. But they're coming to town, and that makes me responsibility for being the chef for the weekend. So I'm trying to come up with meals that will feed 12 people. and trying to come up with something different that I haven't done yet. And I'm thinking either tapas, which I've never made
Ooh.
before, or dim sum, which I have never made before. So it's my opportunity to kind of stay in the kitchen, enjoy, let them enjoy their company, and I get to focus on cooking and trying some experiments. So
That
that's
sounds
my plan
great.
this afternoon. I got to figure out what I'm doing and I got to go shopping for it. So,
Awesome.
Yeah, dim sum does not sound very politically correct.
okay.
Let's go mow that desk. All right. Well, it's been great serving as your interim host. I'm going to miss all of you. And yeah. Ben, you were champing at the bit to share the first show.
Yes.
And so just okay, here's the deal. For those of you that are watching this right, I was going to say watching live. No one's watching live. That's our technical problem. Okay, here's the deal. For all of us here right now, put all of your links into our private chat, and then we will make sure they end up in the chat archive on the website with the recording so that all of you, our dear friends that are watching the show right now, you can go and see the links for everything that we talk about. And so Ben, okay, now hit us with your show.
Yes. Well, during this one, I'm going to be talking out of my ass. I'm off.
I see what you did there. Not sanitary, but I see it.
Yes. It's a little show called Foundation. I would say it is the best new IP of this decade. However, I mean, God, when did Isaac Asimov write the foundation was ironically for Apple, 1984. Actually, no, there's a TV series in 84, but this is really the first time technology has really been there to be able to film this. And we just started season three, and Foundation is glorious.
I'm really enjoying Foundation,
Yeah.
as well.
Yep. It comes down to a scientist predicted the fall of human society and the genetic empire, or the galactic empire, not that one, over several hundred years. And a series of eight crises. Yeah, my brain does not work. Basically, so this scientist and a math prodigy have to find a way to get throughout the centuries to make sure everything happens and hu humanity doesn't enter a new Dark Ages. The primary villain, at least through the first couple of seasons, it is what is known the Genetic Dynasty. An emperor named Cleon basically thought nobody but himself could ever rule. So, with the help of, I'm trying to explain Damozel without
Well, it
completely spoiling her.
well how about if we say with the help of Isaac Asimov's creativity,
Yes.
the Cleon becomes a cloned leader through time,
Yes.
and shenanigans ensue.
Yes. And there are all these three different Cleons, a younger one called Dawn, Cleon at the height of his power called Day, and was it the
Dusk.
and yeah, and Dusk, who is an older Cleon, played by Cassian Bilton as Dawn, the great Lee Pace, aka Ronan the Accuser as Day, and Terrence Mann as Dusk.
Okay,
And
so
since they
Ben, I
are,
have a question for you.
yes.
What's making this season stand out for you this year, without spoilers?
Am I allowed to talk about the villain with the name of a drink?
The villain is in the teasers or the
Oh,
trailers, so
yes.
yes, we
Okay.
can talk about the mule.
Yep. There is a new, really awesome villain called the Mule, who, let's just say, is a very special character who is even more dangerous than the Genetic Dynasty. Who, I mean, if you like Star Wars, you'll like this, but this is so much richer.
It's,
This.
I'm impressed with how, let me start again. Knowing how expensive the effects
Yeah.
are for a show like this, I'm impressed that that the funding has been maintained to continue to have the same level of effects. So basically,
Yeah,
every
this
shot
is
you
movie
see
quality.
in this series has special effects in it. In many cases, you won't notice that there's anything that's been added through FX, but every single scene has something.
Yes. And I do also have to sh shout out with base my favorite incarnation of the character of the season. This year's Day, or as I like to call him, Cleon the Dude.
Yeah, Cleon the dude. That's a great way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just every season is completely different. The versions of Cleon, each of the three actors gets to play, is completely different. And it's as fun to watch as it is for the actors to film.
It's a lot of fun. Chuck, Marty, are you watching Foundation?
I am not watching Foundation. I read the books years ago when I was a teenager. And just my problem with shows is finding time to commit the long run for things. And you'll see that in my choice, my first choice at least. So for me, it seems like Foundation is a big commitment.
Yeah, I'll grant
Yeah,
you that.
that's so I have a tendency to avoid those. I've never seen The Sopranos. I've never seen Breaking Bad, those kinds of shows. By the time I hear about them, they're like 3 seasons in, and it's like, nope, not gonna do it.
Yeah. Well, if you ever decide to watch, and if you don't, no problem, because Ben loves it enough for both of you, and I'm enjoying it too. I think the series, the TV series, is better than Asimov's books. They did a great job of taking something that was written in what, the 70s, and making it work for today.
And I will also say, Robin Asimov, who is Isaac's son, who basically continued on with some of the books, is involved in the creative process of the show.
Yep. So, Chuck, how about you?
Couple things here. First of all, I have watched the first two seasons. I have not watched the third because I love the first two seasons so much that I don't want to have to wait a week for the next episode to come out. So I'm rationing myself. Plus the fact that sort of fits in with my current way of consuming television content. And I say that loosely because none of this is technically television content, I guess. That I sort of take on one, maybe two series at a time. And then, just bounce back and forth between them because trying to keep up with everything, not only the back stuff that I haven't gotten to yet, but trying to keep up with what's here, I find that I start to lose the threads a little bit. So right now I'm waiting for Foundation season 3 to finish, and then hopefully I will get to it sooner rather than later. That said, I absolutely love the show. I think that it doesn't follow Asimov's novels exactly, which is fine because that's just sort of the nature of TV. But I did want to issue just one correction that to what was said here. Asimov published the first Foundation novel in 1951, according to
No
Wikipedia.
way. I
And
didn't realize it
so
was that long ago.
I know because I read it as a kid too. And in fact, I read it a couple times as a kid, the whole trilogy. And of course, since then, it's expanded beyond just Asimov's original trilogy. That said, though, I think it's amazing how it's both amazing at how prescient Asimov was, and it's amazing at what Apple TV Plus has done to those novels to make them relatable to a science fiction audience of today.
I mean, it
And
shows how
so, yeah, go ahead, Ben.
shows you how much far ahead he was of everyone, that it
Yeah.
literally takes 70 years to adapt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of truth to that. Yeah. Because a lot of it would just not have carried weight if they tried to do it in the 70s or even 80s. Because the technology to do some of that would just not have been there. But I'm with Ben. I can't praise this enough. And it's taking quite a bit of restraint for me not to dive in because I know I'm just going to frustrate myself when I've watched episode two and I'm waiting for three or three and waiting for four. So yeah, I would place this at the top of the list of any Apple TV Plus show list
Yes.
in the top five or seven shows.
All right. Okay, so Marty, you said you already have your first pick ready to go. We'll see how many picks we actually get through. And I saw the link for yours, and I'm on board. I love Foundation and I love yours too.
Yeah, well, mine is Murderbot. And to be honest with you, I knew nothing of this until all of you tech heads started jabbering about how great it's going to be. And I w said, okay, I'm going to dive into it. The premise sounded really interesting. Murderbot is a self-hacking security android, or a SEC unit, as he's referred to. He disables the governing module in him, so he has his kind of own autonomy. And part of the series is him just kind of discovering his own identity and who he is. But he tries to he has to conceal his free will to others around him because robots with free wills in the past had created problems and they just destroy them now. So he doesn't want to be destroyed. He has this kind of desire to continue to be and exist. And I'll tell you, I think I have the last episode, the 10th episode for this first season to watch. It turns out that the episodes are about 24 minutes. And as I mentioned before, that kind of fits into my lifestyle. I can squeeze 24 minutes in once a week. I haven't binge watched it as much as I've just kind of rolled it out, episode from episode. It's an adaptation of Martha Wells' novella, All Systems Red. And so it has been renewed for a second season. When they put the last episode out, they announced that they were going to renew it for a second season. And so that makes it exciting because I know there's a future to it. And it kind of builds in satire. It has Sanctuary Moon. The robot is really, the murder bot is really fascinated with this fictional soap opera series called Sanctuary Moon. So he is constantly reading and referring to the episodes of Sanctuary Moon, and often there's cutaways to those episodes that he's referring to. Murderbot's voiced by Alexander Skarsgård, and he also serves as the executive producer. There are some other great actors in there, probably most noted, at least in my world, my limited world, is David Dastmalchian, who plays Garathian, and I've seen him in other movies and other episodes, and he really has suspicion that Murderbot is going to take them all out. And you get these flashbacks in Murderbot where you see bits and pieces of his history, and you begin to wonder how is this going to play out in the whole show. It is described as I love this. The description on IMDb says it's an action comedy drama sci-fi thriller.
That sounds about right.
It pretty much has everything covered. So I'm enjoying it. He winds up getting attached to a unit of,
Space hippies.
pardon?
Basically space hippies.
Space hippies, yeah, who don't believe in killing and want to preserve life and all these kinds of things. And so his kind of motives clash sometimes with their kind of motives, but they wind up solving problems together in this first season. So Murderbot, I'm kind of sad to think I have one 24 minutes left, and then I have to wait for the second season to roll out.
But it's a really excellent 24 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah,
Good.
every episode I thought was solid in the series.
So if you're looking for 10 episodes at about 24 minutes a piece, you're looking at a 5-hour commitment. And so for folks who haven't seen this or folks who haven't heard of this, think of it that way, that you can get in and out of this complete in a much shorter framework than sitting through 3 seasons of 12 episodes, an hour a piece to kind of catch up with what the rest of the world is talking about.
Yeah, I mean it's also essentially a single narrative. So it is one of those really good shows to binge because literally episodes can end right in the middle of a scene.
Yeah. Well, that's intriguing.
Yeah, having read All Systems Red a while ago, I was intrigued by the idea of turning that into a TV series. And I mean, it's the right length to be, the novella is the right length to be a whole season. And I thought they did a really good job of translating the book to the screen. They're like every book that gets turned into a TV series or a movie, there's things that are different. Excuse me, because you can't tell the story the same way in different mediums. And so when things happened differently, or in some cases you end up with characters that aren't in the book, it's I noticed, but it didn't bother me because it was very clear that this had been translated to screen really well. It's like the perfect example of this is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. There was the radio story version, there was the book version, there was the TV show version, the movie version, and each one is a different version of the story, and they all work. And they've done that with Murderbot. It's very tight. There's no wasted time in any episode.
No, yeah.
Except the time that they don't waste getting to episode 700 of the Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon.
Right. Yeah, it's a controversial series. People either love Sanctuary Moon or they don't.
This is another one. I'm really intrigued by listening to you all talk about it. I've heard it talked about on a few other shows. It sounded interesting from the get-go. I don't think I realized though that the episodes were so short. So maybe that will move it up on my list of things to watch because I can get through it faster. And
But
Chuck, you might be tempted to like watch one episode and go, I got another 25 minutes, let me do a second one. Or I've got another 25 minutes, let me do a third one. You have the freedom to kind of move through that. I was born and raised Catholic, so I like to space out any joy in my life, because it happens so rarely. So I have a tendency to not binge shows.
Well, Marty, thank you, because I need to clarify that for somebody that's thinking, oh, it just sits down and watches, hours on end. I don't binge them because I just don't, like you, I don't have the time. So that's one of the reasons that I found that I need to try to limit how much, because I want to follow the storylines. I mean, the quality of the shows that are coming out, and especially with Apple TV Plus from the streamers and some of the other services, and note that I left out broadcast TV completely, is
That
so
still
good that,
exists.
yeah, that I, yeah. So I don't want to lose any of it. So that's why I've sort of chosen this method. It also puts me a bit far behind and I have to avoid spoilers. But at the same time, I find that I get more out of it by concentrating on just one or two when time allows. So it's just a different strategy than what I used to do, because it seems like during the summers, things slow down a bit, or at least they used to. And the fall was the big time, and now it's just spaced out all over the place, so that suddenly you're getting some really, really great series out there. Some of them drop all at once, so that, seven, eight, nine episodes come down all at once, and you think, oh my God. Or you have to pace them out. And it just, after a while, it gets confusing. So trying to simplify my life and still get the benefit of them.
That's fair. Chuck, do you have a show you want to toss into the mix?
I do. Putting it in the chat room now. I said, putting it in the chat room now. There we go. This is Prime Target from Apple TV Plus.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I'm going to read the write-up on this. So that, because I want to be real careful with spoilers here, because this just premiered in January of this year. A brilliant Cambridge math student, Leo Woodall, is on the verge of a major breakthrough when a shadowy enemy tries to stop him. Fighting for answers and his life, he teams up with a government agent to unravel a high-stakes conspiracy. That write-up does not do justice to this series, in my opinion. Because, a brilliant college math, Cambridge math student, well, right there, it's like, really? How exciting can this be? It is so well done. And again, I'm trying to be very careful of conspiracies here, conspiracy, spoilers. But this has conspiracy aspects to it. It has not exactly sci-fi, but treading in that realm, definitely tech aspects to it. It just has so many great things. It is only one season. It has not, as the last time I checked, has not been renewed for a second. The great thing is, though, that it doesn't necessarily leave you with this huge cliffhanger. They ended it in a fashion so that you can say, okay, that's cool. It worked. Or they could pick it up and run with it again if they wanted to. And I really do hope they do. But I just feel like this particular show has been greatly underrated and not received nearly enough publicity. And so, Marty, to your point, the first, I was hooked on the first in the first episode, but you might want to give it just an episode and a half if the first one doesn't hook you. But I don't think you'll be disappointed, because as a I would call it a different kind of technological thriller, would be the best way, because thriller is not exactly it. It's not a lot of explosions and all that kind of thing, but there are twists and turns in there that, at least in my watching, I didn't see coming or didn't exactly expect. And I love that when I'm surprised by a series.
I've had a chance to watch the first episode
Okay.
and I really liked it. The problem for me was the circumstances under which I was watching the episode. It was difficult for me to like really pay attention. And this is a show that where you need to pay attention.
Yes.
I enjoyed what I was watching, but I need to go back and watch the episode again where I can actually focus on it. And I intend to watch the rest of the series. I was hooked on that episode, even not being able to catch everything that I needed to be paying attention to.
Yes.
Jeff, I find that really interesting because I agree with it completely that it's one of those that you know, maybe you don't need to study it, but you do need to pay attention. You really shouldn't be trying to watch this series and do something else, or and
Yeah.
be looking back intermittently. You're going to miss subtle points that really build out later.
Yeah, I mean, it was clear when I got to the end of the episode, and I won't offer any spoilers to back that up. But it was clear to me when I got to the end of the episode, I needed to go back and watch it where I could focus on on everything because I knew I had missed some key things.
Yeah, and it's difficult to explain this. And again, that's why I wanted to just read the write-up from Apple TV and then try to expand it just a little bit, because if I go much farther, I start to give things away. And I don't want to give things away if it sounds like it's something that you might want to try out.
Yeah. Anyone else watching this one?
I will say this, and this might be construed as a spoiler. Don't confuse prime target with hard target. You will not be seeing Van Damme do the splits.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I don't need to keep watching.
I haven't watched it yet. And you know, Chuck, I will give it a try because I do like math. And also, you know, you've been really a strong proponent of slow horses. And the accents are so thick on that show that it's hard for me to follow what's going on because I'm reading the captions on it to follow it along. So as long as this is done where I don't need to do captions, I will give it a shot, and take a run for it.
Yeah, I don't think so, Marty. I don't think that you will have the accent issue. But I think that's really interesting about the slow horses thing, because what I found was there are certain idioms that were used that are absolutely UK appropriate that I have to say, okay, what? I need to look that up. Exactly what did they mean by that? So, it's which I love because it's expanding my knowledge of a little different culture that still is English, but it speaks English, but it's British English, and they're different
Yeah,
things.
with slow horses, it's like, okay, they're having this dialogue. Do I need to pay attention, really pay attention to this? Is this relevant to the plot being moved forward? Or is this kind of just dialogue at the office? And so I'm always get confused with that. It takes an extra effort for me to get through an episode of that.
All
I think
right.
the effort is worth it, Marty, but that's
Yeah.
and this is wasn't even a pick. We end up talking about it, but
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I'm going to throw out what actually, I think for many people is a controversial pick. And I'm going with the current season of Severance.
Ooh.
And
A controversial pick?
yes, because many people watched this season and they didn't like where the story went. They didn't like some of the episodes because not every episode fits the same mold of the episodes from season one. And there are things throughout season two that turned off a lot of people. And like from the beginning all the way through to the credits on the final episode. And for me, I felt the whole season was done brilliantly.
Yeah.
And the episodes that turned off a lot of people, I think were some of the best.
Yeah, those are my favorite.
Yeah, so yeah, some of our favorite. Ben's with me. But I love how the mystery of the overall mystery, what is the company really doing? What are these people doing? And some of these characters that have impact on the core characters' lives. What's going on with these people, and how do they really fit in and into this bigger picture? And they really dive into a lot of that in this season, and they definitely take some risks with the storytelling, and I thought it paid off. And I hope, I don't know, have they renewed it for another season? I honestly don't
Oh yeah,
know.
I think they've renewed it for 4 seasons, all the
Oh,
way to
great.
the end.
Oh, great. Okay, great. So we get to see more about what's going on, and while some questions were answered by the time we got to the end of season two, we have new questions, and I'm really looking forward to getting answers to some of those questions, exploring why these things have happened. It's I know a lot of people are calling it sci-fi. Severance to me feels more like a thriller mystery show than sci-fi. But I mean, there's definitely sci-fi elements in it.
I mean, it basically blends work-life balance with multiple personalities.
Yeah, and it doesn't balance very well. Otherwise, it wouldn't be
No,
much of a show.
I think that's the point.
Yeah.
But I have to say, praise Keir for this pick.
Well said.
You know, there were parts of Severance that I just felt like were way too true to life.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
that's the brilliance of it, because it relates despite being
Yeah.
that out there.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm being a little snarky, of course, but some of the stuff, it's just things that I've experienced in a corporate environment, you know, ratcheted up a bit, but you can still relate to it. And it's like, you know, how stupid is this? But,
Yes.
you know, and I mean, past in my past lives, it's like, oh my God, I've lived part of this. So.
I think it's amazingly ballsy that Severance does some of the things it does, because there are places in season one and season two where it feels like they're calling out the Cult of Apple, and to do that on a TV show where you know that you are on Apple's network. And, you know, like Ben Stiller just putting this stuff in the show. And you'd think that some of these elements, someone at Apple would be saying, you know, maybe we should tone that down a little bit, but it's not, it hasn't happened.
But I mean, the other thing was severance. If Apple were to take offense and cancel it, someone else would pick it up like that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm Apple's smart to let the show be what it is,
Yeah.
and I think it's a really great series. Marty, have you been watching Severance?
No. I started watching the first season, got about seven shows in, and it was just not moving for me.
Oh, it moves.
And it was another show that I had to I felt like I had to pay complete attention to, and the
You do.
pace of it was not carrying me along. And I said, okay, so I'll finish and get through the season and make sure everything's going to be cool. And then season two came out, and everybody started talking about season two, and a lot of people binge watched it or whatever and got through season two. And now season three is out, and it's sort of like, now the investment is way too much for me to get back on track with this
Okay,
time-wise.
so you just did something that underscores the problem a lot of people are having with the series. You talk about the pacing, and for a lot of people, the pacing doesn't work. You talked about how you have to be paying attention to everything, because I mean, it's complicated what's going on, and every scene is complicated on different levels. And then you talked about how now season three is out. And
No, it's
there,
not.
I mean, that underscores it. There's only two seasons out, but the way it is played, the way the show has
Ah,
played out,
okay.
for a lot of people, they think that we actually do have three seasons already. So,
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
having the effect, I'm having the Lost effect, where I got through one season of Lost and then it just started getting too weird for me to care about it anymore. And so this happens with me with a lot of series.
I will say this, season one is all questions. Season two is basically mostly answers.
And yeah, I think that's fair to say. But every answer
Comes
comes
with
at a
new questions.
price
Yeah.
because
Okay,
now you have different questions.
I'm 13 hours away from that joy. That's my point with this.
Yeah.
I have to, to get your severance bliss that you guys have, I got to put another 13 hours into it. So.
I'm not saying this in a negative way. I think if for as far as you've made it into the series and it isn't catching you, this isn't your show. Just invest your time in something else.
Yeah, because
Cut the loss and call it good.
you basically have to I wouldn't say join, but learn to understand a made-up cult religion.
Well, I mean, look at all the Apple products we have.
Yeah.
So, we should all have some level of understanding of that. And for
You know,
those of us, oh, go ahead, Chuck.
well, I want to make Marty feel a little better because I understand exactly where you're coming from, Marty. And as much as people rave about this show, I like it. I don't love it. And I've enjoyed it. I'm sure that maybe I have lost some of the finer points of it, but and again, I was some of it just is parody of things that I've lived through, and I think anybody that's worked for a large company has lived through. That said, it's a very different kind of show. And so, Jeff, I hadn't even thought about exactly the pacing of using that word, applying that to my feelings about it. So it's one that I would tell people to try. I'm not sure that, I think your advice to Marty about it maybe not being his show is really, really good advice.
Yeah, the pacing, it's very interesting because it is slow, except when it's not. And when it's not slow, it's actually jarring, which I believe is the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see it, and it'll happen sooner or later, for somebody to do a little bit of an edit on this show and, for the people who couldn't get into it and see, how much it could be boiled down to something that could be, the pacing would be a little bit different. But to your point, Jeff, it might lose a lot of the impact of certain parts of it.
I think it would dilute the show, but maybe it would make it more accessible to a wider audience. See, told you I had a controversial pick.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and I will say this season, I won't give too much information, has one of the best single actor multiple shot scenes I have ever seen.
I know what you're talking about, and
Yes.
I agree. It is done wonderfully.
Yeah.
The amount of work that went into that scene, it's just astounding.
I can appreciate the comments on pacing. I wouldn't want a sped up version of it or an edited version of it. Pacing is really important to plot. And I mean, I think of Hitchcock, I think of other where pacing is important. And sometimes you feel like you're being drugged through something for the payoff. The payoff happens. It's just for me, the payoff hasn't been worth being drugged through the non-payoff portions. So, yeah, maybe it's not the show for me.
Oh, you definitely feel like you're drugged.
Right. Yeah. Hey, it's clear to me we don't have time to do more shows. So,
Can I just rattle off a couple of ones that I think, and maybe others would want to do the same, that I think are worth looking at?
Sure. Toss out titles and then throw links in as well so that those will be in the show notes for people.
Okay. Stick. which is basically Ted Lasso with golf, and it's produced by the same folks, same showrunners and such, is pretty good. I think Owen Wilson, is Owen Wilson. He's acting like Owen Wilson acts in every movie I've seen Owen Wilson in. I think Marc Maron, from his comedic standpoint, is just wonderful in this, and how he is. So Stick would be one. Another one is Your Friends and Neighbors, which has been an interesting show to process through, and that has Jon Hamm in the lead role, and it is a good, I think, a good option for people to look at. I started Smoke, and I like the lead actor in that so much that there is a twist in this that I couldn't watch it anymore because I like the lead actor so much. But again, another fascinating show. And the one that I've been yelling about for a long time, and I just went back and checked, it wasn't this year. It was premiered in March of 2024, Manhunt. And this is one of those series that is basically based on the book of the 12 Days After Lincoln Was Shot. And it follows the Secretary of State. And the main characters are I think the Secretary of State and John Wilkes Booth. And it does such a wonderful job of laying out that whole process 12 days after. It is 7 episodes of 50 minutes apiece, so you can be in and out of that rather quickly. But for me, I am just astonished at the scenes and the setting, the costuming, all of that, on how it's like they build this. Where'd they go to get this shot? These kinds of things. It's just remarkable. And it gives a really good in-depth look at that historic time, Manhunt. So those are my extras, and I'll throw them in the chat.
All right, I'll toss one in then as well. Acapulco. We've only watched the first. Nope. Oh, sorry. Once again, hairballs. I've watched the first episode of season one, and I know season two is out, and it seems like it's an absolute delight of a show.
Yep. For me, it would be an absolute violation of the pact if I did not mention Silo.
Oh, right. The new Silo season came out this year, too.
Yeah. And technically, what was it? Two or three episodes were in this year.
So, all right.
I'm sorry. I was trying to get links for my two. I'm going to throw out. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to throw out Invasion. That if you haven't seen Invasion, and it's coming back for, I believe it's season three. But it is, I think, very, very well done. But the cheat I'm going to use is I'm not going to pick a series. I'm going to pick a film that seemed to get not the recognition it should have, except that I believe it did pick up one of the recent nominations out of Apple's big haul for The Gorge. So and The Gorge is again one of those that just it's not what you expect at all. And it combines things that usually I do not like in movies, and it wraps it all into something that I thoroughly enjoyed and can recommend.
Chuck, I watched that on your recommendation. I can't agree enough. And I saw that as come up and thought, well, it's a movie. Let's not talk about it. But it is a good investment of time.
Yeah, thanks, Marty. I'm glad because, just because something resonates with me, especially something like this, that it almost seems like the write-up is borderline misdirecting. And that I have no idea why I took it upon myself to watch it, and boy, was I glad I did.
All right. So with that, we should wrap up. But before we do, I want to remind everyone that the links for everything that we've talked about today, they're in the live chat, stored away there for you. But since all of you are watching the recording instead of the live part because technical issues, here's what you do. To get to all the links, go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And there will be a great calendar there. Click on the day for today's show, which is Friday, July 25th, 2025. When you click on that link, or that date, you'll get to see the chat. And so all of the shows that we've talked about today, the links for those will be in there. So you can stay caught up for past shows that or past episodes of all the British Tech Network shows. That calendar gets you to the links for the chats for those. So on days when we actually can live stream, everyone that's watching the show can participate as well. And so you can see the conversations, all the links are there. And it's a cool thing. Patrice put so much effort into modernizing our live stream system and our live chat system, and totally appreciate that because it's made it so much better. And I want to point out the problem that we're having today has nothing to do with what Patrice has done. It's all a problem on my end. And once again, this is what happens when I'm left unsupervised. All right. So with that, let's wrap up. Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me at Ben Rithig on social media. You can occasionally find my writings and ravings at rithigtech.com, and even more occasionally, and even thankfully more so now on Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac shows such as Mac Voices Live, In Touch with iOS, and of course the Mac Show.
Awesome. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything that I'm doing. We do a live show Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern with everybody here when they can show up, and they're always all welcome. And you're welcome too at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on all of the social medias, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. Okay. And Marty, how about you?
You can find me on social media at Gencius, Gencius on Blue Sky and also Mastodon Social. My website for the projects I'm involved in is thepodtalk.net, and that includes vision profiles, which I do on Monday nights with Eric Bolden and Dave Ginsberg and Daniel Burkholder, where we talk about Vision Pro and what's new that week in Vision Pro. Tuesdays with Chuck on Mac Voices, Thursdays with Dave on In Touch with iOS, and occasionally when I can play hooky from work here on Friday mornings.
Awesome. Excuse me. Wow. I am living proof that licking your cat is a bad idea. Sorry about the hairballs, people. Wow. Okay, so for me, Jay Gamut on all the social medias. I'm active right now on Mastodon and PixelFed and Blue Sky. And then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS, here Thursdays for the Big Show and Fridays for the Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine, and Patrice Brendamore, who's not here with us today, Patrice and I, we do Retro Rewatch. And with that, okay, it is time to wrap up. So thank you to our all American contingent today. The three of you are awesome, and you've made my Friday morning an absolute delight. So thank you for being here and sharing all these awesome shows. Everyone that well, I'd say everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here. But since we're not live recording today, I will instead say, when you do watch and listen live, we really appreciate it, and we love when you chat with us in the live chat. It's super cool. So please keep that up. But for everyone today, thank you for watching or listening to the show recording. So glad that you joined us. And wow, it's just so cool to be here with all of you. But I do have to say, hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Mueller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And I know I'm forgetting something, but I can't remember what it is. Hopefully, it's not important. So instead, I'm just going to gracefully wrap this thing up and say thank you again to everyone for being here. Don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show, and have an awesome weekend.